From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back. It's Locked On Chiefs, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about, some new developments going on out at training camp. I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host over at RGR Football on YouTube. Today, I'm doing a little bit different of an episode because we have some things that are going on, some breaking news. And as we record this right now, we're waiting on word about Bashaw Breeland. And it seems that he's been in camp. He's been in St. Joe. I have confirmation that he's been there. We heard some word from C. Dot Harrison this afternoon. And there seems to be some inkling that the Chiefs could have a new cornerback sometime in the next 24 hours. So we're going to hold off on announcing anything like that until the end of the show, just to make sure nothing happens while we're recording, because we have plenty of other things to talk about. And first and foremost, I want to mention we are brought to you by a brand new sponsor today, and it's Nordic Track. NordicTrack. That's Nordic Track. And we're going to talk about them in a little bit. But first, we have a couple of other things to talk about. And it's unfortunate that camp started off this way, because a guy that I've really been looking forward to, and I think a lot of fans are looking forward to, ended up getting hurt, like, basically from minute one. And at this point, we got confirmation on Tuesday that Armani Watts is still hurt. There's no details released as far as we know, and I have checked with folks, and nobody's really talking about what the injury is. He was at practice on Tuesday, not participating. He was walking around. I heard no reports of any kind of walking boot or anything like that. So that's a positive note, and I think that we have to kind of hold our breath and see what happens, because while they want to be cautious, I think he's a guy that can play a significant role in 2018, and they need to be careful, because it's a fine line walking between taking a chance at re-injury, or if it's just a little tweak, you know, he should be fine in a couple of days. But you also don't want to stress it out, and that's the problem. Taking that time to make sure is important, but at the same time, he's missing reps. And he's missing reps with Eric Berry. He's missing reps with guys that he needs to be building camaraderie, building trust with. And in particular, Eric Berry. He talked to BJ Kissel a lot about the fact that he intends to learn from Berry. And I know that when he spoke to the media early on after he was drafted, that was also a theme that he's carrying forward, about learning from Eric Berry. And honestly, who better to learn from? It's one of those deals that the more time he can get on the field, talking with Berry, going through reads, recognition, the whole nine yards, not just in the film room, although that's uber important as well. That time is invaluable also. But time on the field, moving your body, understanding where you need to be, how you need to be, and how you're keying on it, that's really something that he's going to need going forward. And Eric Berry's the perfect guy to learn from. There's really no way around that. And I think what you're going to see is a guy that can take that knowledge and transplant it. You know, when we talk about how he was in college and what his traits were and the whole nine yards, it really comes back that Armani Watts is a guy that plays with some abandon, and he's likely to continue that. You know, old habits die hard, and that's okay. I think the defense needs an edge. They need somebody to bring some spark, some little bit of chance taking. Although Marcus Peters did that fairly well. He did it without really regard to his teammates, I think. So I think the thing that stands out when you watch film about Armani Watts, and I talked about this in RGR a few weeks ago, he seems to take a lot of chances coming up underneath. And when you think about the way the Chiefs play, trying to use a lot of dime and a lot of three safety sets, and that's a whole other discussion. We'll see if that holds true, because there's some new theories about that I have as this other drama unfolds. What you see is that's a situation where Watts may have somebody behind him. And if they're playing in that three set and they're moving around, he may have an opportunity to be a guy that's a little bit closer, take some shots with a guy behind him as an actual safety net, rather than being the deep safety net himself, which I think may be a sign that maybe we're going to see Eric Berry playing a little bit more free. I don't like that, and I know you guys have heard that before. Not the best way to use Eric Berry, but that may be a case that's what we're going to see. I think that they're going to end up giving Dan Sorensen a good shot at playing deep as well. Again, not the thing that he's best at, and so that leaves me wanting a little bit, but we'll see what happens with that. I think Eric Murray has a shot at playing deep. And if that's the case, I think Watts definitely works into the rotation where he could be that third guy. But you have to understand that when you're talking about a third guy and you're talking about leaving two linebackers on the field, that changes the way that you're going to align the defense. Because it's not going to be three safeties roaming in space, because you brought in Dorian O'Daniel specifically to play that kind of just over the edge, not nickel linebacker, but nickel cover guy. And one of the things that I found really interesting about what O'Daniel had to say, and by the way, from this point forward, I think I'm going to call him DOD or Dodd. I don't know what's going to stick, one of those anyway. I found it really interesting that he said not only did he have a plan, and that was the part that I picked up on first, but after rewatching it, the fact that when he recounted his skills about covering tight ends, covering slot receivers, and bringing the blitz, I think that's a significant portion of his game. He's got the body type. He's got the speed of a DB, body of a small linebacker, very much the Tavis Brown kind of body type. I think you could see some similar things to what Atlanta does with some of their guys. Deion Jones reminds me a little bit of what Dorian O'Daniel can do. And that, again, changes the fact that if you're sending a guy on a blitz fairly often, if that's a big portion of what he's there to do, it leaves other things open for safeties. And if you can disguise getting into a single high look with somebody else, it leaves Armani Watts the chance to be that guy that can make some plays. But that all comes with spending time with, learning to work with the other safeties, and Eric Berry in particular. So I think that's got to be the priority going forward, is to get that done. And every rep, every practice that Armani Watts isn't out on the field and is walking the sidelines is a detriment to that progression. Now, it's early in camp, so you know, some of you might think I'm being alarmist, but it's just observation right now. If it goes on for a prolonged time, then we have to start talking about what the ramifications are. But a couple of days, hopefully, if he's walking on his own without any kind of boot or crutches or anything, and I, again, have not heard any of that, it looks like that it should be a temporary problem. They're being cautious. They're trying to make sure, get him some rehab. Everyone that has been injured and returned this season has been very, very complimentary of the staff, for Rick Burkholder himself, but as well as the rest of the staff, in progressing them in their rehab. And that's something that, you know, no amount of money can buy, getting better at that, because maximizing the athleticism and the availability of your athletes is something that every team has to fight. And having that edge in the training room is something that the Chiefs are lucky to have at this point. So we'll keep an eye on Armani Watts, and we're going to hopefully see him out on the field pretty soon. It will give way to some reps for some other players, and we'll take a look at that as soon as we find more information about it. Right now, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the other developments in the first couple of days of camp, including Breland Speaks. You know, these days, it's tough to actually find the time to get to the gym. And if you're somebody like me that lives out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains, it's even more difficult. So the idea of bringing the gym to you is probably the best thing for us. And that's why we want to talk about NordicTrack today. They have a series of training equipment that gives you amazing workouts in the convenience of your home. They have treadmills and exercise bikes and incline trainers, even some strength training. I like the ellipticals best myself, but it's personal choice. All of them are there to benefit you. And NordicTrack has this cool online workout feature. You can join high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day if you want. You can join those workouts in studios or in strange destinations around the world. Start your day off with a run in the streets of Paris or end cross training on the shores of Thailand. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. We have a special offer for our listeners. You get $75 off your NordicTrack purchase by visiting NordicTrack.com/LockedOn and using the offer code LockedOn. Again, that's NordicTrack.com/LockedOn and use the code LockedOn during your checkout and you'll save $75. Now, Armani Watts is not the only rookie to make some news on Tuesday. And yes, again, it's shills. It's rookies and quarterbacks getting used to it, getting into the groove. And I understand that, but it's quite a daunting thing for a defensive lineman to make the transition to linebacker. And there's been a lot of talk about Breland Speaks, and he had a quiet OTAs, and that's fine. It's one of those deals that you have to kind of set your expectations. And a lot of folks had the complaint that he was really a D lineman when he was drafted, and that the transition itself was going to make him not somebody that could contribute right away. And I cautioned everyone at the time, and I want to bring it back up now. The great thing about Breland Speaks is he's intense, and he can do a little bit of everything. Is he a classic bend the edge speed rusher, you know, in the likes of Derek or in the likes of Von Miller? No, he's not. He's never going to be. That's not his game. Don't expect it. Like, somehow he's going to develop that bend, and you're going to see him just crushing that shortest loop to the quarterback like Von Miller does, because it's just not in his repertoire. It's not in his DNA. What he is a guy that can do a little bit of everything. He's got power. He can do some rush moves. He clearly admitted to the press that he's got, you know, one or two rush moves, and that's good. I mean, that's an honest thing, because you have to remember, coming out of college, a lot of kids, they develop this swim that's really effective at the college level, and it's kind of a go-to for a lot of people, and I've seen Breland do it on film, and that's fine. It's effective, and it's still something that you can get away with every now and then, but offensive linemen look for it. Offensive linemen in the NFL crush it. And not only are you going to get beat and taken out of the play if you expose your ribs to an offensive line, but you're also going to get beat up, because they're going to drive the snot out of you. And that's just kind of the way that it works. So while Speaks admits, you know, he's got a move, or maybe a move and a half, it's developing a counter. It's developing a go-to. It's being able to set up the outside move, maybe with a little bit of power. Maybe he's got something, depending on how they're going to shade him in situations early in the season. This will help his development. And being able to set up footwork and hand pressure, hand fighting, to get shoulders turned or get some type of leverage to come back inside. And that's probably the number one thing that we're going to look to see from Breland Speaks. And getting off to a good start is a good thing. But he's got to listen. He's got to take the guidance that it seems, by all accounts, that the other outside linebackers are offering him. And not just Justin Houston, Dee Ford and Tano Pastineau in particular, too. He's mentioned them both by name, and I think that's great. And it's something that you have to have a rotation. And I think Dee Ford understands that as well. Dee Ford's under a lot of pressure, both for this team, but for his career as well. And you have to have that rotation. You need to be fresh. Dee's had trouble staying healthy. And if he is fully healthy now, although I think they're still holding him out of contact drills for now, and then that's fine. That'll be probably a little bit before he's on there really mexing it up. But for him, taking that extra time is a good thing. And when you get into the season, having a little bit extra time is a good thing. So if you can get to the point where Tano can produce week in, week out, and play 20, 30 snaps, that's great. That's something that can take some pressure off of D. If you get Breland that can play 10 or 15 or even 20 snaps a game, great. That's more pressure you can take off of Dee Ford, and maybe even give Justin Houston a rest as well. You know, it having that rotation is something that helps everybody involved. And to do that, you have to have a basic level of competence, and that's evolving beyond the college swim move and evolving beyond just I'm rushing for power or I'm rushing the one move that I have. And that's going to take some time. But beyond that, I think what we saw on Tuesday is that Breland Speaks made a splash play in a way I think nobody really expected. And it goes back to some of his background. And if you go back and look at the RGR football film I did on it, I want to say that's 6 weeks ago, specifically on Breland, what he can do, there's some snaps in there that I showed you that he can drop, that he can play from off the ball. And, you know, and digging into, he said this week, he was a middle linebacker in high school. So it's not a foreign concept to be playing in space for him. And taking advantage of that in any way that they can is a good thing. And whether that's something that maybe we think is conventional or maybe is something completely new, being able to adapt that and use his skill set, what his natural ability is a great thing. He spoke about the volume of coverage that he's going to be playing, what he's being asked to do. And that makes me think that maybe they're looking to play him off the ball more than we originally thought, as just another outside rusher. So having that middle linebacker experience and having more snaps where he's dropping is something clearly that he's being prepared to do. And it paid off on Tuesday. He actually picked off Patrick Mahomes in practice. on an underneath throw. And unfortunately, it's kind of a negative for Patrick because we talked about this offseason as well. Patrick has a tendency, either because of the frenetic pace that he's trying to get things done or because he relies on the power of his arm, a lot of his interceptions come over the middle on guys that he doesn't see, guys that he doesn't realize are in a position to actually get their hands on the ball. So part of that is Patrick putting it where it can be taken advantage of. But the other part is that Breland Speaks was in a position to take advantage of it. And for a guy that has so much concern about whether he's able to play in pass coverage or not, I think that's a really, really good sign. And he got his hands on the ball, made the interception, looked like he got a bit of a return. I wasn't at practice, but from what I've heard, it was fluid at least, and that's a plus. But that comes from being prepared. And the other thing that I thought was really interesting is it appears that he ran his practice, his individual drills, training on his own time this season that included doing defensive back drills. And I think that's really great for a guy that's 280 plus pounds to be able to say, this is what they're asking me to do at the next level, and this is a way that I can get better at it right now before I even get into camp. I think that's great, and I think that's a good sign about, again, going back to his intensity, his desire for the game to have an impact, and that plays into his rotation and his part within that rotation. All of which are really positive signs and hope that we see more. Again, this is just the beginning of practice, just shells, and I think it's 7-on-7s. I don't even know if they're doing anything beyond that. So once the pads come on, we'll start talking about it a little bit more. But I think it's a really good first step for a rookie in this situation, much different than what, unfortunately, Armani Watts is going through. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk the other topic that we probably need to touch on. Now, at this point, I've given it as much time as I can. Got to get this episode out for tomorrow morning for Wednesday's show. So at this point, here's the situation. A lot of rumors floating around about Bashaud Breland and his connection to Kansas City. He's been there all day. As of right now, no news, no confirmation, no nothing that he has or has not signed with the Chiefs. I think it's a good fit, and I think it also is a bit of a red flag for the team. And we're going to talk more about that tomorrow. I'm going to have Seth on. He'll be back. Chris is starting his vacation, so wish him well. And I'm going to have the reins here for the next week or two. Seth will be with me on and off, have a lot of guests coming up. But for tomorrow, I think we're going to talk about Breland and whether he signs or not, or whether we even know whether he signed or not at the time that we record with Seth. We're going to talk about what that means for this team. Because it's not just, oh, it's a chance to add another guy that's got experience. It's a need to add a guy with experience. And that says a little bit more than I think the team's been willing to admit to this point. So thank you for listening today. Going to talk with Brett Coleman in the next week or two, trying to set that up. Going to have some other guests. Matt Derrick will be back with us to give us his inside scoop at camp. We're going to talk with Nate Taylor eventually, too, trying to get that on the book. So keep your ears open. I'm going to have plenty for you. I'm going to have some new RGR videos on YouTube, so keep an eye out for that as well. Thank you for listening today. I will be using the Locked On Chiefs Twitter account a little bit. Not quite as good at that as Chris is, especially with my spelling. But hit me up on there or hit me at Ryan Tracy NFL, and we'll keep the conversation rolling. Enjoy your evening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.